What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board this is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspective. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Today we talk social skills. Now, social skills are described simply as any skill that facilitates interaction and communication with others. We need to understand how we socialize with others in a professional or informal environment because it is important in the type of relationships we cultivate. Also, how we are viewed by others we interact with on a daily basis. So the question is, how do we measure one's social skills? How do we attain the necessary social skills? Do different societies have different expectations in as far as social skills are concerned? Let's talk. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Let's listen to what you have to say about our topic of discussion today. We're talking about social skills.
Every man is a social animal, so he must have skills to be able to have interpersonal relationships with other people. For instance, if you cannot dance very well and you go for a party, you probably be looking odd or looking strange. That does not mean you're going to be a professional dancer. It's just for you to be able to know certain things that will make you a gentleman or a lady, as the case is.
Certainly, there are proper social skills in the society.
You definitely have to have something like a social skill that other people do use as a criteria or something to depend on you.
I don't think there's someone who lacks social skills. Anybody has something.
Yo. You are listening to Upfront on the Voice of America.
Can you hear me?
With Jackson Vunganyi and Nadia Sami.
You're blowing money fast on this side. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover, whipping work, hallelujah, one nation, under God, real, getting money from the start. I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover, getting work, hallelujah, one nation, under God, real, getting money from the start. My Rolls Royce, triple black. I'm Geechee, ballin' in the club, bottles like I'm Meechee. Rosé, that's my nickname. Running in my big vein, self-made, you just affiliated. I built it ground up, you bought it, renovated. Talking plenty capers, nothing's been authenticated. Funny, you claiming the same that I'm penetrating. Hold the bottles up, where my comrades, what a balance, what my dog says. I got that Archie Bunker, and it's so white I just might charge a double. I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover, whipping work, hallelujah, one nation, under God, real, getting money from the start. I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover, getting work, hallelujah, one nation, under God, real, getting money from the start.
On the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Richard Martin Smolki from Nigeria, Taraba State, Gembu, Federal Local Government. I'm enjoying your program. Thank you very much.
No, I haven't met anyone who likes social skills because, I mean, it's like it's an inborn thing that you can have a certain particular social skill that makes you unique to the rest of the people. So I have never met anyone who lacks social skills.
It is important to have a social skill. For example, if you're a communicator, you can use that social skill maybe to once in a while organize educative talks, maybe enlighten your community on one or two things that they do not understand well. I don't think there's someone who lacks social skills. Anybody has something. I don't think
it's very necessary to have those skills, because if you don't have them, probably you will not be able to change your society or your community. Because until you have, in fact, if these things are in it, whatever field of work you are in, I think it's necessary, because it's with these things that you change your society.
Basically, I got beef. I want to talk to you directly. I can't ignore, I can't escape, and ask, cause you affect me. This energy is killing me.
Thanks all of you for your contributions to Upfront on the Voice of America. You can also call us in the USA. The number is 202-203-4051.
And visit us in the blogosphere at Upfront Africa.
The blogosphere.
That's upfrontafrica.com.
Upfront and leave us some Africa. Comments.
You know, that's how we do. Now, Jackson, social rules and regulations, should we say, are formed and communicated and exchanged in verbal and nonverbal ways. And the process of learning such skills is what we call socialization. Simply put, social skills are the way that you deal with the people around you and the way that you really treat the world around you.
True, Nadia. Social skills are most often thought of as a set of skills that allow us to communicate, relate, and socialize with others. We should also note that social skills from one culture to another may be defined differently. As a new immigrant to any community anywhere in the world, you are bound to be faced with challenges of trying to navigate through the ruts of a new society. You know, what types of new social skills that you need to, you know, to get around. So my colleague Henok Fente came in as a student at Columbia University, as a graduate student at Columbia University. And of all places, it's in New York, you know, one of the biggest cities in the world, one of the busiest cities in the world. And he shares with us the experiences that he went through.
Basically, what I was doing was I was translating my Amharic jokes into English. And these things anybody who's listening right now should never try to translate
because
jokes.
There's a little cultural context with every joke, and that, you know, many people do not understand what, for example, it, you know, a mule carrying a whatever.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Right. So did you find yourself in awkward situations?
Yeah, it was very awkward because some of it, some people found was sexist. Others thought that was not even a joke. Yeah, it didn't fly.
And you're just being a nice guy. You're just trying to fit in.
Right. That's what it was. And honestly, that was what I was trying to do.
Not trying to offend.
Because I came here to go to journalism school. So on a serious note, I needed to speak to people. So
to
communicating
interact.
To people, interacting to people, it was not easy. And the school I went to, they sent us on the first week of arrival in the United States. And I went to school in New York, mind you. They send us to go to this neighborhood and find six-story ideas and one solid person on the streets type of story. So the neighborhood I went was this neighborhood called Hunts Point. It's the southern tip of the Bronx.
Right.
And it's mainly Dominicans who don't speak English. About 72% and some 20-something percent African-Americans. So naturally, you know, a guy from Africa, I would go talk to the African-Americans. So I say, hello, my brother. You know, I'm doing a story. And they look at me like this and they're like, I ain't your brother. And why are you talking to me? So
that was a little hostile.
Yes, but I went to the immigrant community, the Dominicans.
Right.
They were smiley because, you know, they...
Exactly. And let's before you... That's a very interesting part. I think I also went through the same thing. But let's, for those who are listening to us, not that African-Americans are just bad people. It's just that when you're an African, you gravitate towards African-Americans when
yes.
you first come here. But what you don't understand is that
culturally we're different.
We're very different culturally.
So the social skills that you would need to interact with them are very different.
And you need different sets of social skills.
So if you go and say, "Hello, brother," with your African accent, there's no African accent really, but with your accented Amharic English.
Or English. It doesn't really work.
French.
Yeah, it didn't work for me.
That was Henok Fente. He's my colleague here and a regular here on Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Funganyi with Nadia Sami. So Nadia, lack of social skills is probably the biggest factor contributing to lack of academic success in school teams. You are a grad student, you know that. For people that do not have the social skills necessary to put together to be part of any team, that is definitely going to affect your academics, right?
Absolutely, Jackson. And social skills is such a wide-reaching topic. I mean, it's the way that we interact with our friends and acquaintances, the way that we speak to people. It's about saying please and thank you. It's about general etiquette. And when you talk about in an academic setting, if you're working in a team, it means, are you cognizant of what the next person is doing? Are you cognizant of pulling your own weight? It's about not being a dead weight, but putting in the energy and putting in your bit. Social skills is just such a far-reaching topic. Even if we look today, technology has made us lose some of our social skills. And for example, how many times have you been talking to someone face-to-face and their cell phone rings and they answer the cell phone and it's almost like they forget they were talking to you? That's rude.
That is
a rude thing to do. If someone has taken the time to come and speak to you personally, then whoever it is who's calling you can wait and you can return that call later. And so technology has impacted as well on our ability to be well socialized.
Okay, so we're gonna stop it right there. Y'all don't turn that down. We're gonna get right back to you with more with Upfront. So holla.
The Voice of America News presents the Upfront Show. with Jack from Outer Washington and Nadia from Outer Cape Town. Yeah, yeah, whoa, oh, oh.
I don't want to say they lack social skills, but those who do not want to cultivate, because the skills are already inborn, they don't want to cultivate it, are probably, in fact, they are dormant. It's like a volcano if it's dormant.
Everybody has a social skill, but many people don't want to open up or to use what they have.
A soldier cannot go to war without his weapons. Just like you cannot grow without having some of those skills around you, in order to know the society in which you are living in. So you need those skills to know demographic. You must have them within you. You must have some interpersonal relationship with people in order to know how to work in life. Some though have these social skills which are very, very peculiar to them.
Like,
there are these people who have the power to convince others. You know, that's it's a talent, it's a gift, natural gift. You cannot learn it. You can learn it at school, but when it is inert, it becomes more credible. So some people have this good tongue, as you say it in our society, good parlance.
Well, I guess it's necessary to have social skills. You know, unique social skills in my society.
So the question that we wanted to explore today is, do different generations have a different set of social skills within their circles? Who better to explain that three young college students, Deandra Isom, Renee Torres Rivers, and Seble Abebe, they're with me in the studio. And we had a very interesting discussion about social skills in the age of the internet. You said that you were involved in a discussion this morning or this particular issue. Why don't you tell us what was that about?
It actually started like last Friday, but
it's an ongoing argument.
It is. Well, it's actually my whole life, if you really want to be honest. But my mom actually had a discussion with me saying that I treat her differently than I treat my friend. And that she's like, I'm sure you don't act this way around when you're around your friends. And I got an argument saying, you don't know how I act when
because
I'm around
you're not
because
there.
You're never there. So basically, it's that is, I treat
but
my friends.
Did she have a point
her.
Though? Does she have a point that you do have you behave differently to her than?
Of course,
to
she
friend?
Had a point, but I'm not gonna let her win that argument. I'm sorry. I'm a person who debates. I will debate with you until the end.
Okay. Why do young people behave differently to different people?
Because your parents are your parents, and you don't want to show them what you do with how you treat your friends, and vice versa. You don't want to like not ruin, but you know, there's like a pride, I think,
and the respect issue.
Yeah,
because
if you disrespect your parents, then you know. Is going to come down heavy on you.
Gotcha. Seble, you are a first generation American, so I'm quite sure you have parents who have very strongly traditional attachments.
It's odd because I have a very close relationship with my mom, so I can, one of the few, I think, African mothers I can be extremely open with and tell her like it is. But since we're so close, there's not so much of a difference. But for others that do have that distance between their first generation.
So with your aunties then?
My aunts. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Definitely, Ethiopian women a lot of the times are told to be very respectful. I mean, with any, you know, background. But I'm very submissive and I'm very passive. And it's almost...
You don't say much.
I don't try
you
to...
You don't try to interact.
I don't try to interrupt. I don't try to create stronger opinions that like might cause confrontation.
But when you're with older people, what is your interaction level?
We're told to get up every time someone older comes in the room.
Right.
So that, you know, to stand up. So that
says
a lot.
Is that what it is for you too?
Yeah, I mean, I've grew up with learning the old ways, not so much the new ways, because that's how I was raised. So when somebody's coming in from the door, you get up and you shake their hand. And that's how I still do that.
Do you have very traditional parents?
Yeah. Like, even when I go out a lot, they're like, why don't you stay in? Why don't you stay with the family? Why don't? And even when I'm at work, I'm like, oh, I want to be with my family and I want to spend time with them. But then I want to go out, too.
Let's talk about how technology has shaped the way you know your social skills. There's a tendency now to spend 90% of your time interfacing with some sort of technology, either a device or the internet. How has that shaped the way your social skills in general?
I think it's actually made us become more lazy, to be honest. Like, I'll give a good example. When I was 5, you'd have to go over to that person's house. If you want to hang out with your friends, you have to go over to that person's house and ask their parents, yo, can I hang out with so-and-so? Now you can just text them and hit them up and be like, yo, let's go outside. So we're really losing our social skills by just doing that, because we're so connected with our cell phones. Our cell phones have basically become our children, our best friends. Like, yeah. I just dropped my cell phone on the concrete yesterday. I was like, oh no, my baby. I was like, are you okay? No, I shouldn't be that connected to a freaking cell phone.
Lost your best friend right there.
Yes.
It actually could be used as an advantage in a dating aspect.
You see an advantage to this.
I think about
everything. It's a different angle to it. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Like in a dating aspect, for a guy, traditionally you would have to go up to the girl's house, knock on the door, and then pick her up. Like how she said, you just, yo, I'm outside, come out. But you can use that as an advantage. You can meet the parents also, and they might even like that.
Is that an advantage for you?
I think for a real woman in a real relationship, it has to be face-to-face. I don't think the internet, I mean, catfish is a great thing.
Oh, man.
Yes.
That's
I mean, even I used to Skype someone, and when I met them in person, their like face-to-face interaction sucked. So it was just like there's nothing like real life chemistry. And two, I'm always thinking like on the metro when I'm on my phone and everyone else is on their phone, like my soulmate could have just been on his phone the whole time and not ever looked up. So, yeah.
So how do people make friends now?
Facebook,
I live in parties.
Uvu.
What?
Uvu. 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 Like Skype.
Wow.
Yeah.
But would you?
I feel so old school right now.
Would you some random person?
No, I don't contact random people.
I mean,
I met all my friends through face-to-face interaction.
Right.
And then you move the relationship too. So the initial relationship, the initial meeting is face-to-face, and then you move it to online.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand people who can be in an online relationship for so many years and you just meet the person on your wedding day. Like,
no, I don't think that's crazy. Does that happen?
Yeah. I actually did a documentary about it on, I think, like MTV or something.
What happens when you get together in social situations then?
Oh, that's happened to me before.
It's crazy.
I've seen the person, and I'm like, I pretend like, they look familiar. And then, like, they do the same thing, and they're like, oh! You know, you hit it off.
What I don't like is when they like all your pictures, comment,
so
and then you do see them in real life, and they act like they don't know you.
Right.
Oh, I get that a lot.
See, I had that. I was like, okay, this guy started talking to me on Facebook. It was before I was in a relationship.
Dun, dun, dun.
He started talking to me while I was on Facebook, and he wanted to meet. And at the last minute, I backed out. I was like, I can't do this.
Were you scared?
Oh.
Yes, I was scared. Like,
because you don't know how to handle yourself in front of him?
I didn't. So, I don't know. I just rather meet you in person from the get-go and just continue on from there.
Certainly, there are proper social skills in the society. For instance, we have groups that dance, dancing groups, music groups, you see theater groups. They really do impact the society, so we really have got proper social skills in our society.
It is definitely necessary to have social skills, because in a society we have like this thing going on as like interdependent. So you definitely have to have something like a social skill that other people do use as a criteria or something to depend on you for, while you are depending on other people.
Okay, yes, it is necessary to have social skills because it helps in a community. Because in a community, if you are a group of people, it's not that everybody can have everything. So where you feel you are half, others will compliment you by their skills, so it's helpful.
Well, in our society, yes, there are some people who don't have social skills. There are some people who are just there, they watch others do things, they criticize others doing things, and they don't do anything at all.
Now, Jackson, we should point out that and it's pretty obvious, social skills differ from one culture to another. What is socially acceptable in my culture may not be in the next person's culture and vice versa. However, there are some universal aspects to social skills. That means regardless of where you go or where you're coming from.
Our verbal skills are usually how people determine if they're going to be our potential friends or mates, and or, you know, in professional places where they consider us for employment or even proportions, like we said earlier.
Let's listen to our conversation with Amy Greenspan, Lauren Fisk, and Julia Risenberg on social skills.
Let's talk about your first year in college. I mean, you guys are both all seniors?
Junior.
How was your first year socializing in your first year?
For me, it was actually pretty easy. I got lucky. I did a pre-orientation program with sort of a wilderness group. And so they sent you on...
A wilderness group?
A wilderness group.
You guys went hunting?
No, we went hiking.
Okay.
So they had like canoe trips and they had hiking trips, and I was on a hiking trip. And so you're only with 9 other people, and there's like 2 upperclassmen who are the leaders, but like everyone is new, so everyone wants to make friends.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy when you're in that small
group. And you went for this orientation because you didn't want to feel awkward when you joined?
Because I thought it'd be fun too. I like hiking.
Right.
I go to school in Virginia, and so it's a...
And you live in Virginia.
Yeah, and I live in Virginia. So William & Mary is a public school, so there were a lot of kids that are new there. So freshman year was a piece of cake, you know, and
so you all knew trying to navigate through this whole.
It was probably like for me, it actually was too easy, you know, and I think that's like a major
too
reason
easy.
Why. No, I mean just in terms of like not being in like a completely new environment, you know, college is supposed to be like pushing yourself and, you know, really putting yourself in a new position, and I didn't really have to do that. Because the school's 2 hours away, and like I already had friends there and stuff. But so it was
people you went to high school with.
Yeah, and so being in going to South Africa really was like my time to like really experience like a completely new situation. And I forgot how I'm like shy when I like first meet people. You know that I completely forgot about that because in college I'd already known so many people.
Did that come out?
Yeah, well, I just like didn't really feel like talking to anybody when I first got there.
You strike me as very shy. How did that happen?
I get that. Yeah. Well,
you're reserved.
I'm quieter, I guess.
But
sometimes.
You're not shy.
I can be shy. Starting college, yeah, I was a little shy. But once you like start talking to people and have a conversation with them, you get one or two friends, and you're pretty much set.
Both all of you describe social situations where you felt really, 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 really awkward.
I mean, I guess when I first got to Kenya, I didn't feel super awkward, but I thought it was a little odd at first, is that people on the street will notice you because you're white, and they'll be like, oh, like Mzungu, and it's a little strange at first.
Did you know what it meant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, my teacher told me that's what it
okay.
meant, white person. So, I mean, like, that is definitely surprising at first, but at the same time, they're like, oh, Mzungu, but then they, like, want to talk to you. And yeah, they're, like, perfectly friendly. I mean, we visited a few schools, and they'd be like, oh, Mzungu, but then, like, all the kids want to come up and hug you. It's not, like, a bad thing.
So, like...
No, I mean, if I have, like, a low profile, I think if I'm in a social situation where all the attention's on me, then I feel uncomfortable. But, like, pretty much any other situation, like, you know, walking in Italy, walking in Cape Town, that's not uncomfortable. The only time I'm ever like socially awkward is if I say something inappropriate, which has happened a few times. I mean, I'm just normally like bite my tongue, but like, you know, if something inappropriate pops into my head and I happen to say it, then that's awkward. But I've learned as I've gotten older, you know, I started out shy, and then I started out being too talkative, and now I think I'm generally, you know, sort of
more
mellow.
Discerning
a little more. Yeah, so, you know, it's good.
You pinch yourself a little bit. You know what? Don't say that.
Don't say that. Yeah.
You learned the hard way.
I mean, once or twice.
That was Amy Greenspan, Lauren Fisk, and Julian Risenberg, interns here at The Voice of America.
Another aspect is just that people socialize differently. I know that being an African person in the US, you will also notice that when you're interacting with students maybe from Eastern Europe, it's very different the way that when you greet each other. The African students, you'll always see they greet with a hug and a very warm handshake, and they'll probably hold hands for a few minutes after while they chat. and there are always hugs involved. There's a lot of touching and contact.
Yes. And with that, we come to the end of this show today, right here on Up Front on the Voice of America.
Of course, we love to hear from you, so send us your thoughts or comments on this program, or just tell us what you care about.
Thank you to all our guests and to all of you for listening. I'm Jackson Fungani, Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sam in Cape Town. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Cheers.